to Psalms 18. Psalms 18. Been looking at some psalms the last few Wednesday nights. Just different ones, just scattering here and there. I love to read the psalms. They're encouraging during times of troubles and problems in your life. You can draw a lot of strength and encouragement from the psalms if you'll read them with an open mind and look at the situations a lot of times that's going on. Some of the psalms that we read are psalms that are attributed to David, and it's during times when no doubt he was experiencing troubles and problems in his life, and he realized in a lot of those situations, or most of those situations, there wasn't but one place to turn to, and that was to turn to God. And we know Psalms 18 here, it says it's a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And the Bible says, and he said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of the ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled, the foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and the fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed in the heavens also, and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub, and did fly, yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, his pavilion. Round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered. At thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of thy breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself mercy, with an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down the high looks. For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. Verse 30 says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord, or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you and thank you again for the opportunity to be in your house this evening. Lord, thank you for these that taking time out of their busy schedule, Lord, to come to the house of the Lord. I pray for each family that makes up the body of Christ here at Open Door, Lord. I pray for those that's unable to be here because of providential hindrances. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, in the upcoming days to see the importance, Lord, of church and assembling. Lord, as we've seen in the past weeks how people have been kept from assembling because of this virus, Lord, the stringent means that's been taken, Lord, to keep people from gathering in public places, Lord, and the things that they call essential, the things that they say are non-essential. God, I pray that you'd help us always realize, Lord, that church is essential in our lives. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us use every opportunity that we have to come to your house, even on Wednesday nights, Lord, and we realize we need this night, Lord, to strengthen us, Lord, for the remainder of the journey each week, Lord, till we can meet back and assemble on a Sunday morning and a Sunday evening, Lord, just to be around your people, God. I pray, Lord, now that you'd help us for just a little bit as we look at this thought. Lord, I pray that you stir our hearts around the Word of God. Lord, I pray for those that's watching by the way of the webcast. We thank you for those that's faithful. Lord, we don't mention them a lot of times, Lord. But, Lord, we thank you that we've got folks that are concerned that they're listening to preaching and listening to the services online, Lord, that may otherwise not have been able to be at the house of God. Lord, I pray for those that are sick. I pray again for those that have been mentioned in prayer requests tonight. Lord, I pray that you touch and meet their needs. Give them grace and strength during this hour. Lord, I pray again for those churches that wants to assemble tonight that's been kept back by government officials, God. I pray that you'd help them during this time. Lord, I realize the patience of everyone is running thin tonight, Lord. And, Lord, there's just a lot of different opinions. There's a lot of thoughts that goes through our minds. Help us to be people that'll pray, that'll think for ourselves, Lord. And, God, it'll look to you, Lord, during these times, Father. Lord, I pray that you'd intervene in our nation. Lord, that you'd have your way. I pray for our missionaries tonight. Help them, Lord, as they prepare to go to the field. Those that are being held back, Lord, I pray that you'd provide their needs, Lord, during this hour. I pray now that you'd have your way through the remainder of this service. Help us be with that when it's here lost, God. I pray that you speak to their heart, sweet Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you'd reveal to them their need of salvation this evening. Lord, we realize this is what it's all about, to come and gather together. Lord, to strengthen the body of Christ. Lord, to touch those that are lost, that don't know you as their Savior. And Lord, and I pray, Heavenly Father, this evening, Lord, that you'll touch that one that's nearest eternity. This might be the night that they'll call upon you and trust you as their Savior. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for all that you do for us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name and Jesus' sake. Amen. I want to look at just the thought of God's work and way here in Psalms chapter 18, and taking a thought from verse 30 there. And then the companion passage to verse 30 is over in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4 said, "He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he." Psalms verse 30 in chapter 18 says, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him." God's way is a way that makes no mistakes. I'm glad that he's all wise, he's all knowing, and that he knows what's best for us. And he said there again in verse 30, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him." And then verse 32 said, "It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect." God speaks of my way and his way all through the Word of God. And this is where the real battle rages in our lives, is when we begin to face obstacles and troubles and problems. And then when his way becomes my way, not only is his way perfect, but as I accept his way to be my way, then my way also becomes perfect. But it's hard to do, ain't it? It's hard to trust him. It's hard to look to him. It's hard to let his ways be our ways. It's easy to say that his way is perfect when everything's going the way that we think it should, but then when it goes the wrong way, that's when it's hard to say that for us to say as human beings that His way is perfect, that He knows what's best for us. But what about when nothing's going the way that we planned and that we think it ought to go? I read this illustration. It said in 1932, A.M. Overton was a pastor of a church in Mississippi with a wife and three small children. His wife was pregnant with their fourth child, but when it came time for delivery, there were complications and both she and the baby died. Said during the funeral service, the preacher officiating the service noticed Pastor Overton writing something on a piece of paper. After the service, the minister asked about it, and he handed him the paper with a poem he had just written, which he entitled, "He Maketh No Mistake." And it goes like this, "If my father's way may twist and turn, my heart may throb and ache, but in my soul I'm glad to know He makes no mistakes. My cherished plan may go astray, my hopes may fade away, but still I'll trust my Lord to lead, for He doth know the way. Though the night be dark and it may seem that day will never break, I'll pin my faith, my all in Him. He makes no mistake. There's so much now I cannot see. My eyesight's far too dim. But come what may, I'll simply trust and leave it all to Him. For by and by the mist will lift and plain it all He'll make. Through all the way, though dark to me, He made not one mistake. His way's perfect this evening. I'm glad that we can say everything that God does is perfect. He does nothing wrong. It may affect us in different ways and hard ways sometimes, but I'm glad that everything that God does is perfect and it's right. The Lord's working in our lives to transform us so that we come to believe and trust in Him so much that we declare, "I want my way to be Thy way, Lord." Until our way becomes God's way, there's no real peace and there's no real purpose in life. Until we get to the point and place where we say, "Lord, I want Your way to be my way. I want what You do for me to realize that that's what I need at that specific time." But I want to look at four things this evening about God's way and work. And number one, the plan of the psalmist there in verse 1. He said, "I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength." At the very beginning, the psalmist made two great and profound declarations here. He declared, number one, his love for the Lord, and he declared, number two, his absolute dependence upon the Lord. I believe if we could be as the psalmist here, as David was, hey, that we would make that purpose in our heart, and purpose in our heart, hey, that we're going to love the Lord the way we should, and that we're going to place all of our dependence upon Him, I believe life would go a lot easier a lot of times. David's plan is to live for the Lord and to love the Lord and to depend upon the Lord for everything he needs and does in life. I think this evening that we all need to have that same determination in our hearts to love the Lord and depend upon the Lord. I believe the one that come to the Jesus said, "What is the greatest commandment?" He said that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind and strength. He said the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I believe if we'd ever get to the point and place in our lives, hey, that we would love the Lord the way that we should, I believe it'd take care of a lot of our situations that we face. We see not only here the plan of the psalmist, but we see the praise of the psalmist there in verse 2. He said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God and my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." And they see, number one here, there's praise for a personal God. Hey, I'm glad that He's not just the God of the world, but He's my God. He's your God this evening. And I'm glad that we can turn to Him and that He deserves our praise that we can give Him. We see the number of times here that David refers to God as "my" and to "I." And nine times David refers to God here as "my God" and "I," declaring that He's a personal God to him. The most important thing in life, I believe, is knowing that
you're right with God, and know that your fellowship is what it should be. Number one, that you're saved, that your sins are forgiven, hey, that you're going to heaven one of these days. But most of all, to know that you're right with God. It's one thing to be saved, but it's another thing to know that our heart is right and it's where it should be with God. I believe that when we're really right with God, hey, that we want to want His way to be our way. We want to walk in His way on a daily basis. And I believe it'll head off a lot of our problems sometimes. We may still have troubles in this life, and we will have troubles in this life, but I believe it'll head off some problems that we could avoid if His ways are our ways. Be sure above everything this evening that you're saved by grace. Know it without a shadow of a doubt. Most important thing in your life, young people, is know that your sins are forgiven, hey, that you're going to heaven one of these days. And that there ain't nothing that nobody can take away from you far as salvation goes. It isn't just enough to be good or religious, to go to church and stop doing some things that are wrong, to join the church or be baptized. Hey, that's all good and well, but it won't do you nothing, no good if you've never been saved by the grace of God. If there's never been a time in your life where you realize that you were a lost, hell-deserving sinner and that Jesus took your place and you've received Him as your Savior. That's the most important thing. It ain't an education, and I think everybody will get an education if they can. I don't think everybody will get an education, and I don't think education is for everybody. Hey, but I do believe that salvation is for everybody, yet some people reject Christ, and they go on in their ways, and they end up dying and going to hell. But God, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm glad that God, in His omnipotence and His omniscience, hey, He looked down through the eons of times. He seen every boy and girl, man, woman that would be born into this world, hey, that would need a Savior, and He was willing to send His Son to this earth. I had to become sin who knew no sin, that you and I might be made the righteousness of God through Him. If there's ever been a time that you need to think about salvation, it's today. Paul said over there, and I believe it was in Corinthians, said, today is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart. Maybe it was in Hebrews. Today is the day of salvation. It don't matter where it was at. Hey, the fact remains that today is the day of salvation. Hey, don't put Jesus off in your life. There's a lot of well-meaning people that have said, not today, tomorrow. And tomorrow never came. You know, the more you put Jesus off, the easier and easier it gets. The more you resist the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart, hey, the harder it'll get for you to get saved. You know, the best time to get saved is when the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. Hey, it don't matter who's around. It don't matter who you're worried about this evening. If you'll junk your pride and you'll come to Jesus, I promise you on authority of this King James Bible, hey, He's ready and He's willing and He wants to save you this evening. The most important thing is knowing that you're right with God, that you've experienced salvation, that you've been saved by the grace of God. In order to be saved, hey, we must turn to Christ by absolute faith for forgiveness and salvation. There's no other way of salvation this evening. The Bible is explicit about the only means of salvation. We could baptize you, dunk you a dozen times in this, but unless you've received Christ as your Savior, unless you've trusted Him, unless you've come to the point and place that you know that you're a sinner and you've received Christ as your Savior, hey, getting dunked in the water won't do you no good. Being a good boy or girl ain't going to do you no good. Praying a prayer is not going to do you no good. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's only through Jesus. It's not through Buddha. It's not through Muhammad. It's not through Joseph Smith or any of these other religious people, but it's through Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God this evening. Acts chapter 16 and verse 31, the Philippian jailer come to Paul and Silas there said, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 said, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 to 10 said, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Skip on down to verse 13. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad that you're a whosoever will this evening. If you'll get to that point and place where you're willing to take your place as a sinner and recognize the fact that you can't save yourself, that there's no good deeds that you can do, there's no golden rule, but it's only turning to Jesus this evening. Hey, I'm glad that you can have your sins forgiven and know with all assurity that you're going to heaven. Not only we see there's praise for a personal God, hey, but there's a praise for a powerful God. Hey, I'm glad that we're serving a powerful God this evening. And God and His relationship with Him, David finds all the strength that he needs to make it through life. I'm glad as we look at these verses, we see, hey, that God is our stability. He's our rock this evening. David recognized that fact as he penned down some of the Psalms here. Verse 2, he said, the Lord is my rock. And my fortress, He's our safety. You think about a fort and you think about safety. When the United States was being occupied, they used to build fortresses. They'd build forts all across this land. And the settlers that was here, when the Indian uprisings and all was taking place, they'd rush to the forts for protection. I'm glad that God is our fortress. He's our safety. I'm glad that God's our Savior. He's our Deliverer. There again in verse 1, David said, and my Deliverer, my God, my strength. There's no strength outside of Jesus Christ in your life. You can never get to the point where you'll get good enough to live the Christian life. Hey, it's only letting Jesus live His life through you. He is our strength. Not only He's our strength, but God is our shield. He's our buckler. God's our security. He's our horn of salvation. You know, I'm glad that when we get saved that we're eternally secure. We're kept by the power of God. Nothing that I can do, hey, holding on and holding out, hey, that's no good, but it's all through Jesus Christ. I'm glad that He secures us through the blood that was shed on the Calvary's cross and the resurrection from the dead. And then we see not only He's our security and our shield, our strength, our Savior and our safety and our stability, but I'm glad of all that, He's our supply. He's our high tower. This refers to the great towers that were built around those ancient cities, and from these towers soldiers could look down on their attackers and send volleys of arrows down on their heads. These towers were usually stocked with ammunition and supplies. When the soldiers ran to the high tower, they were above the battle. Hey, they were in a place of rest, refreshment, and ready supply. I'm glad God is the same for the child of God. When the battles are raging about us, I'm glad that we can run to Him and be lifted above our battles and find rest and refreshment we need to be able to fight the battles and win. Reason so many people failing, they're trying to win their own battles. They don't realize, hey, we have a powerful God this evening. Hey, we can rejoice in the knowledge, hey, that the Lord is ever there for us to run to in the day of battle. We see not only the plan of the psalmist and the praise of the psalmist, but we see the perception of the psalmist there in verses 30 to 31. He said, as for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? As for God, His way is perfect. Far past all fault and error are God's dealings with His people. Every way of God is complete in itself, and all His ways put together are matchless in harmony and goodness. I'm glad this evening all His ways are perfect. Hey, there's not none of His ways that aren't perfect. And if we'll walk in His ways, then His ways become our ways. Do we always understand His ways? No. With our limited abilities, there's no way that we can understand all the ways of God. The Bible tells us over in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 11, says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." I'm glad God's word will never return void. I'm glad when we don't understand the ways of God, we don't understand the things that He said, if we'll just believe the things that He says and the ways that He points us in, I'm glad then those ways will become truth and they'll become secure to us and they'll become help in our lives. I'm glad the Word of God's been tried. It's like silver that's refined in the furnace of fire. I'm glad its doctrines are glorious, the precepts are pure, and the promises are faithful, and it's full of grace and truth. Hey, David had tried it, thousands have tried it, and we've tried it, and it's never failed. He's a buckler to all those that are trusting Him. There's no armor of proof or shield of brass that secures the warrior of God as does God Himself. I'm glad He protects His people. I'm glad He Himself is the buckler. What comfort and peace this brings to our heart this evening as we look at the Word of God and that He's given us that we can order our steps by. Who is God save the Lord? Who else creates and sustains and foresees and overrules? Who but He is perfect in every attribute and glorious in every act? Who is a rock save our God? Where can lasting hope be found besides in God? This world's looking for hope tonight during this time of the coronavirus. But I'm going to tell you, outside of God, there's no hope for this world. I'm glad if we would just trust the Lord and realize that we're serving a powerful God, that He's well able to keep us from the elements of this raging virus, if we'll just trust in Him, and then if we do get it and we die, hey, we're going to a better place anyway. I love that verse, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. Hey, this world is running in fear. Hey, they're saying now that this virus is affecting the mind. It's the fear that's affecting the mind of God of getting this virus. They're coming up with something every day. Some that we even heard today, hey, that it's in Lake Lanier. It could be in Lake Lanier. My soul. We're all doomed if it is that lives around here. Because you're going to get some water out of that sooner or later. We see not only the plan of the psalmist, the praise of the psalmist, the perception of the psalmist, but lastly we see the pledge of the psalmist. There in verse 3, he said, "I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies." We find here David makes a pledge to call on God and to trust Him and Him alone. You know, we're trusting in everything. We're trusting in what the doctors are saying. We're trusting in what the politicians are saying. We're trusting in everything except God this evening. I mean saved people that's been born again, that's experienced the grace of God. Hey, we're trusting everything in this world but God. I'm glad He is the great physician tonight. Hey, He said He wouldn't allow nothing to come on us that we couldn't bear. We don't understand these things. I do understand it. I know why probably we're facing this. I know why maybe churches are closed down. I mean, some reasons why. You wait till it's all over. Hey, people realize the importance of church to their life. If they really saved and they've got a relationship with Lord Jesus Christ, they realize the importance, the essentiality of being able to go to church, to be around other believers, to be encouraged. And yet so many people have put everything and anything in place of church. They'll put their work in place of church. They'll put their pleasure in place of church. They'll just stay out of church just because they can. And if some one person stays out, then somebody else says, well, they stayed out, I'm going to stay out. I deserve some time off too. And then they wonder, why do I have so many problems in my life? Because they're not trusting in the all-powerful God. Hey, we find the pledge of the psalmist here. He said, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. You won't save from your enemies. Call upon the Lord. Call upon the Lord. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 2, I forget what verse it said, but the goodness of God leadeth men to repentance. I'm going to tell you, you think judgment comes, men's going to repent? No, they're going to get harder and harder. I seen that when Katrina hit Louisiana. Those floods come in there and them people, they were looting, they were raping, they were doing all kinds of things. They weren't repenting, they got calloused harder and harder. But the goodness of God, while it's day, while it's time, men need to repent. David here makes a pledge to call on God and to trust Him alone. We need to quit trusting in the politicians and trusting in the doctors and trusting in all these. I'm glad we got all these things, but we got some crooked politicians. We got some crazy doctors. We just need to learn to trust God that He'll lead us to the right places, to the right people, give us the right people. David had gone through some dark and difficult days, but God had taken care of him in every situation. He said, I've been young, now I'm old, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Hey, David faced a lot of things. David brought a lot of his problems on himself, though. But David was a man after God's own heart. Hey, David knew how to praise God. David knew how to pray. And I believe really in his heart, David knew how to please God. And I believe he got through a lot of the situations when Saul was pursuing him, trying to kill him. Even Absalom, his son, was trying to kill him. David was a man of war. I mean, he was a mighty man that knew how to fight, but he knew, hey, that without God he could do nothing. He knew where his strength and where his help come from. The pledge of the psalmist, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. Hey, we need to pledge our love to God this evening. We need to pledge our allegiance to an all-knowing and almighty God that's perfect in all of His ways. His Word is perfect. And yield our life and our ways to His ways, that our ways might be perfect. I wonder this evening, do you know Jesus is your Savior? Do you know Him in the free pardon of sin? If not, why wouldn't you turn to Him in faith this evening and trust Him for salvation? He'll save you. I can promise you that on the authority of God's Word this evening. He came to seek and to save sinners. And the only requirement To be saved is to realize that you're a sinner. And if you'll take your place as a sinner and come to Him in repentance and faith, believing that He is the Son of God, that He is the perfect Son of God, that He laid down His life and shed His blood on Calvary. Hey, He'll save you and forgive you of all your sins this evening. Again, the most important thing in your life is for salvation, to trust Jesus. And then after you get saved, the most important thing, I believe, for a child of God is to know that their heart is right with God, that they're walking with Him, that they're allowing His ways to be their ways. But few of us can say that in reality. Most of us find ourselves walking in opposition to His ways every day. Number one, we're not trusting Him to lead us. We're not completely yielding our lives to Him and taking our hands off of our lives. His ways are perfect. That's what I want, is His ways to be my ways, to love His ways, to walk in His ways this evening. And I hope that's the desire of your heart this evening. Lord, we thank You again for the opportunity to be here. Thank You for the Psalms that we can ramble through, Lord, and look and draw strength from, Lord, and direction for our lives. And surely this evening, Lord, we can say with the psalmist, Lord, that Your ways are perfect. Lord, Your ways are the ways that we want for our life. Lord, I pray that we would really want it enough that we would reach forth for it. Lord, we'd allow You to control and direct us. Lord, to realize that we have a powerful God that we can trust and look to for guidance and direction. Lord, I pray for that one that's here lost this evening. Lord, that one that may be out of Your will, that one that's stubborn, rebellious. Lord, that one that knows their heart's not right with You. Lord, that one that may be watching by the way of the webcast tonight. Lord, that just somehow ended up on this side, Lord, this evening. God, I pray that You deal with their heart. Lord, I pray this might be the night that someone trusts You in the free pardon of sin. We love You and we thank You for loving us and dying for us. And Lord, I pray that we'll say with the psalmist, I will call upon the Lord. And Lord, look to You for direction. We love You in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're liberty to go.